Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 15th, 2019. And it's just awesome that you're with us here on this beautiful Sunday morning. You know, we've had this crazy weather, and I was even looking at some of the old temperatures, you know, like back in 1950, it was 39 degrees out, you know, so we have this influx of weather. But I think God constantly keeps reminding us that He is with us, especially in the weather. But God is with us, my brothers and sisters, and I think sometimes, you know, our problem is we're just looking at God backwards or upside down. And, you know, we think God is supposed to be intervening in situations where it's up to us, or it is just part of life, part of the hardships of life. And I think in some ways, as we'll find in our scriptures today, we have to realize that suffering does have meaning. You know, maybe we don't understand it. I certainly don't understand it, especially when young children die, when young children get sick. But, you know, look at our society, my brothers and sisters. I mean, we kill babies. I mean, we do that, as a convenience for ourselves and for our lives. We dispose of our very own children, which is just, you know, abominable, you know. I think when they look back at us 100 years from now, talk about legacy, right? They're gonna think, you know, this is their answer. This was their answer. And they will look at the people and the individuals and the organizations and the political parties that endorsed it, used it as a form of coercion, used it as a source of power for people. Because what greater power can there be than to take the life or give life to another human being? So very sad. So I hope that you are all in prayer. You know, last week was the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. This week is the Exaltation of the Holy Cross was yesterday, and I think in some ways, you know, every day is the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and what this crucifix is about, what the crucifix, the corpus being on the cross, is all about. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. And of course, we prayed out in front of Nazareth last Friday as well. We will do that on the 13th day of the month through the winter, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to be out there this winter praying as well on the 13th day of the month from 11 o'clock in the morning until noontime. We'll be praying the rosary out there, you know, get two or three rosaries in and talk to people and hopefully change the Sisters of St. Joseph's mind, especially the management in Cleveland, who is directly responsible for the decisions that are made here in Kalamazoo, unfortunately. But go to SaveNazareth.com, sign the petition, do whatever you can, send a note to the Holy Father. We've sent up 7 or 8. Have not received any word back at all over the last 6 months of working on this campaign to try to save the historic Mother House and chapel at Nazareth, Michigan. And so if you're interested in anything else about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, diokzoo.org. Also, really good Catholic information at holyfamilyradio.net. It's a list of Catholic radio stations in the area in southwestern Michigan. And, of course, you can go to my website, which is deaconlouiszemlich.com, and drop me a note there. And let's go right into the scripture readings for this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our first reading is from the book of Exodus. This is Exodus 32, 7 through 11, and 13 and 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and carrying out and crying out, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I see how stiff-necked these people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them and consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with a so strong hand? Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as a perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our responsorial psalm is Psalm 51. God creates a pure heart. "I will raise you up and go to my Father. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In your greatness and your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and my sin cleanse me. I will rise and go to my Father. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out of your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. I will rise and go to my Father. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled. O God, you will not spurn. I will rise and go to my Father." Our second reading today is from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. "Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance and my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these I am the foremost. But for that reason I was mercifully treated, so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of the ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, 1 through 32. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Tax collectors and sinners were all being drawn near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had 2 sons, and the younger said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided his property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.' So he got up, went back to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and now has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has had him back safe and sound.' He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all of these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So, some beautiful stories for us, some beautiful stories of our own lives to think about, to contemplate on. In case you're just joining us, my brothers and sisters, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And still got a little bit of scratchiness in my throat going on, but it's going away, thank goodness. So, excuse me, some beautiful words from scriptures, from the scriptures today, and in case you're also some websites you may want to visit, including SaveNazareth.com. Go on there to sign the petition that we've got going on for trying to save the historic Mother House and Chapel out there in Nazareth, Michigan on Gaul Road. So let's go right into this because, you know, this is what we're talking about, our lives, as Moses intercedes for us, right? And the question is today, my brothers and sisters, do I pray for others? Do I pray for other people? Maybe I pray for myself once in a while, but do I get on my knees? And I asked a person this the other day, he said, why do you pray? He said, oh, I pray. I said, do you get on your knees and pray? No. No, I do not. And of course, this person's a grown man. And, you know, we don't expect to, you know. We have multiple parishes, you know, St. Catherine's and Portage, you know, they have a hard time getting on their knees there. And there's always the floor, though, right? But you think about what has happened, even in the church, my brothers and sisters. We have decided not to intercede for one another. We have decided not to get on our knees and pray. We have decided not to get on our knees during the consecration. We have decided not to get on our knees after receiving Holy Communion, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. We have decided to remove crucifixes from churches because we don't want to look at the corpus. We don't want to look at what murderers we are, what killers we are, what disastrous dogs we are. But that's what we are, my brothers and sisters. Let's face it, okay? I think the time has come for us to talk openly and honestly and frankly, right? Political correctness has run amok because we have decided that killing babies is okay, killing old people is okay, people not having the proper health care is okay, and then all that the socialists, the communists who are still stuck in this country can think of is just giving us free cell phones and $800 a month and just to vote for them while they live like kings. I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to vote. And, you know, we're always voting, right? But I take up about 1% of my time with the whole voting thing. But And as much as that, you know, I vote for people who are pro-life. And thanks be to God, we have a very pro-life president right now. Actually, the most pro-life president we've ever had with Donald Trump. And so pray for him. Pray for him. Maybe pray that he doesn't tweet so much. You know, but even so, you know, he's from Queens, New York. So that's what we have. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, at least he cares about human life. He cares about children. And people may say, well, you can't be political and you can't talk about politics if you're a cleric. Well, you're wrong, because actually Donald Trump reversed that law that was put in by Lyndon Johnson, a Democrat, a horrible president too, to boot, who kept us in Vietnam way too long. But he is the one who enacted that law that you could not talk about politics from the pulpit. And you know the main reason why he did that is he was afraid of the Catholics. Okay? Plain and simple. He was afraid of the Catholic vote. He was afraid the Catholics would talk about you know, voting for Catholics and only vote for Catholics and things like that. I don't say that, my brothers and sisters. I say vote for those people who believe in life, for those people who believe in Christ and the light of Christ and the truth of God, or at least they believe in God and they fear God, for the actions that they take will be judged at the end of their lives. And sometimes I think when we vote for people, we get people into office that have no fear of anything. Excuse me. Have no fear of anything. That's when we end up with these people who are so crazy. Literally. But do we intercede, my brothers and sisters? Do we pray for one another? And that's this reading from Exodus is all about. That Moses and you and I can do the same thing, can be like Moses. See? We can be like Moses. Moses speaks to God face to face as a friend. Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. What would it be like to have a man or a woman like Moses leading this country? Think about that. Or leading any country to set an example. See? To even lead the church. To lead the Catholic Church. Think about that. Now Moses was not a perfect person, was he? But God still chose him. He was a murderer, but God still chose him. He still converted. He converted his heart and his mind and his soul. And that's what today's all about, my brothers and sisters. This very day, that your heart and your mind be converted. And how it is converted is we start to pray for others on our knees. In the privacy of our own homes or at church. Right? Get on your knees and pray. The second reading also very powerful, right? So I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I'm a sinner. And you know what, my brothers and sisters? I think you're probably a sinner too, right? Many of you know that I've been in recovery for quite some time, but I want to read this beautiful out of this reading about being responsible. See? We talked earlier about, you know, voting and politics and life, how important human life is, especially the life of a baby. But listen to this about responsibility. In recovery, I thought that the help of a self-help program, I learned in the very thing I fear is freedom. It comes from my tendency to recoil from taking responsibility for anything. Maybe like an unwanted pregnancy, or pregnancy in general, or anything in our life. Fill in the blank, right? I recoil from taking responsibility for anything. I deny, I ignore, I blame, I avoid. Then one day, I look, I admit, and I accept. The freedom and the healing and the recovery I experience in this looking, admitting and accepting, I learn to say, yes, I am responsible. When I can speak those words with honesty and sincerity, then I am free. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Then you are free. And of course, our gospel, self-explanatory, right? Who am I? Am I this righteous son who stands back, arms folded, not even willing to accept your own brother back into the home, back into the family? If you are that person, my brother or sister, you are going to be judged for that. Please don't do that. Be like Moses. Be like St. Paul. Be like Jesus. Be like Christ upon that cross, crucified. Crucified for things that he did not do, but sacrifices himself to totally and completely for us. God does that for us. And what do? We ignore. Well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to mass. I don't need to pray. My brothers and sisters, you're very lost if you think that way. And please, I beg you, and hope that this very day you get on your knees and pray to God and change your life and turn your life around. It's very important, my brothers and sisters, for us to pray. You know, this last week, too, was 9/11, right? Which we, of course, will never forget. But we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially our brothers and sisters, our Muslim brothers and sisters, that are very so extreme that they are willing to kill themselves, their very own selves, to bring upon such violence. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for their conversion. And those, my brothers and sisters, who have not found Christ, who have not found this answer to true love, pray for them. Pray the rosary. Get on your knees and pray. Don't just be constantly complaining and ignoring things and ignoring what's going on in the world. You know, people talk about depression and all these things and suicide and all these things, but we don't talk about God. We need to talk about returning to God, asking Christ to intercede for us. Is it going to fix it every single time? Of course not. Of course not. There were a couple of pastors out in California, God rest their souls, God bless them, who battled against depression, yet took their own lives. My brothers and sisters, it's not about it all being fixed. It's about us all working on it together. And prayer is a huge part of it. Yes, some of us will be able to extend our lives on and on. That's true. You know, through prayer and intercession and interceding. But let us not be, you know, ignoring that diseases will come. Depression will come. These horrible things will come. But we need to pray for one another and love one another. And finally this, I invite you to go to EWTN.com and look up Theology of the Body by Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II. And it is about the human heart and the human spirit, my brothers and sisters, and how we need this prayer, how this is an integral part of us being human, our spirituality. And for us not to be able to pray publicly, for us not to be teaching this stuff, really teaching this stuff in the schools as a benefit, as a health benefit for men and women and children, a health benefit for them to be able to sit quietly, to meditate, to think about the power of Jesus Christ, to think about the power of God, to whatever tradition they've been raised in, to have a moment of silence, to be able to do that every day or two or three times a day. For young people, everyone, college students, everyone, in the workplace as well. And so finally this from Pope John Paul. Opposition in the human heart between the spirit and the body. In his general audience on the 30th of July, 1980, Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body. The nuptial meaning of the body is destroyed when man or woman seeks to possess the other as an object. He continues on with this. But only when each other belongs to each other through self-giving. Self-giving, my brothers and sisters. And that's what we have to do this very day. Give ourselves as Moses did, as St. Paul did, as Jesus does, pouring out his love on the cross. And so let us get on our knees and pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are unwilling to get on their knees and pray. Pray for our clergy. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for all those in elected office. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.